Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, everyone. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. And welcome to the Purpose Kingdom Network. I am your host, Evangelist Cheryl Johnson, and I am the president and founder of the Women in the Word Ministries. And this is In Search of the Truth, coming to you live from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in the United States of America, where you can listen to us on computer at www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom, or you can telephone us at 319-527-6091, 319-527-6091. The Bible declares in Psalm 119, verse 160, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy judgments endureth forever." John 17:17 declares, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." And John 8:32 says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." If you're looking for freedom tonight, if you're looking for deliverance tonight, if you're looking for encouragement tonight, you will find it in search of the truth in the word of God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We give you honor. We give you glory that's due your name, for you are worthy to be praised. We thank you, Lord, for who you are and for what you are doing in our lives, for yet another day and another opportunity that you're giving us, Lord, to praise, glorify, magnify, and worship your holy and righteous name. We pray, God, that you would open up our ears that we might hear, our eyes, spiritual eyes, Lord, that we might see, our hearts, Lord, that we might feel your move, Lord. I pray, God, you would hide me behind the cross, that they might not hear me, but they will hear you high and lifted up, and they might not see me, but they will see you high and lifted up, and that you would speak to their spirit, Lord, dropping the word of truth into their very spirits, Lord, that it will bring forth seed and it will bring forth fruit, and that fruit will grow, and it will be magnified, and it will remain, and will cause them to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of you. Lord, get your glory. Lord, get your praise tonight. In the matchless, marvelous name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I do pray with much thanksgiving. Amen. So we're going to be talking tonight around the theme, preparing for a fresh start, preparing for a fresh start. So I want you to come with me to the Word of God, where we will be looking at and learning from Isaiah chapter 43. Just reading a few verses there, verse 18 and verse 19. Isaiah chapter 43, beginning at verse 18. And there you'll find these words. King James Version says, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." God, for the people of God to glorify God. And again, our topic of discussion or from learning this evening is preparing for a fresh start. Preparing for a fresh start. The Word of God says, "With all thy getting, get an understanding. For wisdom is the principal thing. But with all thy getting, to get an understanding." So we talk about that word prepare, meaning to make ready beforehand, to plan in advance, to put together. And then that phrase, fresh start, an opportunity to begin something again. And to me, when I think of a fresh start, I think of a new beginning. I think of a clean slate. I think of going back to square one. And why is that important? Well, the year 2020 has been an unusual year But now it is in the rearview mirror. It was the year of the pandemic. There was pause. There was sickness. There was stagnation. There were lockouts and lockdowns. There were disconnection and distancing. And with the vaccine, we seem to be turning the corner. We praise God for that. We're about a halfway through the year in this 2021, and I'm sensing a newness in the air, not just socially, not just collectively, but spiritually. Our churches, our places of worship are beginning and preparing to reopen. Social media and technology have been wonderful, but there is something about going into the house of God for corporate worship. That's why I can agree with David when he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I am excited because I don't think church will be business as usual. I don't think our places of worship will be the same routine. I don't think when we gather together for corporate worship that we will be doing the same old thing. I believe that God is preparing us for a fresh start. I believe that God is getting ready to do something radical, something off the chain, something explosive. And I must admit, though, I'm going to be honest with you. There's an element of uncertainty and mystery in this whole move of God. But I hear the words of Jesus say this in Mark chapter 2, verse 22. And no man puts new wine into old bottles, else the new bottle would burst, and the bottles and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred. But new wine must be put into new bottles. Oh, that's revelation for somebody. That's revelation for me. God is about to do a new thing, and he's not going to entrust it to an old way, an old tradition, an old way of doing things, an old mindset. No, he's going to do a new thing. And Jesus said, you don't take new wine and put it in old bottles for the very reason that the newness of the wine will be too much pressure on the old bottles. The old bottles will burst, and not only will you lose the bottles, but you'll lose the new wine as well. It will spill out. Amen. And he said, therefore, new wine has to be put into new bottles. God is going to do a new thing in the believer's life, the new thing in the worship. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. A new thing in the praise mechanism. Amen. And we got to be prepared for the new thing that he's getting ready to do. We must be new ourselves, ready to receive what God has for us to do. And I am excited about what God is going to do and that we must be prepared. So the Lord led me to Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. And we're going to look at that scripture line by line, precept by precept, and we're going to glean what God is telling us concerning this fresh start. In verse 18, it starts out by saying, remember ye not the former things. Stop right there. Remember ye not the former things. If we want to get a good grasp of a fresh start, a new beginning, then here's what we need to be doing. We have to let go of some stuff. Now, I know that makes us nervous. I know that makes us uncertain. I know that even confuses us. I know that it even frightens us to a point because we're used to the old stuff. We're used to holding on to things because we know how that's going to work. We know how that's going to play out, and we're just comfortable with that thing. But God is saying, there's a newness in the air. There's a freshness in the air. And he is the one who's orchestrating this new thing, this freshness. So we have to let go of some things. That means we got to let go of doing things the same old way. Yep, Mm-hmm. What are you talking about, Sister Cheryl? Well, how we intend to worship, how we come into the place of worship, how we greet one another, how we greet God, how we worship God. It's got to be something new. It's had to be something fresh. It has to be something anointed. It has to be something that gives a newness. Like, look, we've been away from corporate worship as a body of believers for 18 months. I don't know about you, but I am craving a connection. Amen. I mean, there's nothing wrong with looking at it on live stream and listening to it, and that's wonderful, and looking at it on YouTube and all the other avenues that are out there. That's wonderful, but it's nothing like being connected in the same room as the worship and the praise is going up under that unction. That moves me to another level in God. And so he says, remember ye not the former things. We're going to have to let some stuff go. We're going to have to let some ways of doing things go. We're going to have to let some thinking dissipate. Oh, yeah. And we're talking about thinking not only concerning our worship service, but how about the ministries that are attached? Because God has allowed some things to happen in this last year and a half that we have never experienced, or I'll say me, I've never experienced before in my entire lifetime. I couldn't even imagine some of the ways things worked out and some of the things that occurred that forced me, amen, just talking about me because maybe you all did all right, but forced me to really look at God in another light. I stopped taking him for granted. I started remembering what it was like to be with God's people, and I started remembering what it was like to be in God's house, just to sit there, just to be in the midst. I started to remember how I missed it. I started to remember, and I said, Lord, I need that connection. It's not that God's not with me in my house. It's not that God's not with me everywhere I go, because he is. But there is something about corporate worship. There is something about corporate prayers. There is something about ministry that involves one-on-one social contact where you can actually see and feed off of one another, and as you can actually connect with one another and begin to be compassionate, more compassionate. I mean, it's not like watching something on television or watching something on your computer. It's beyond that, because there is a connection. We are social beings, and we need that connection. And to see God move and sweep through the lives of people before your very eyes, and that you're a part of that, God is doing a new thing. And he says, remember ye not the former things. Remember, don't remember them. Don't even get into that. Don't let some stuff go. Do that. Begin to think of things differently. Begin to let this yearning that you have to be reconnected, let that take over, and let God begin to direct. Forget about the ritual. Forget about the routine. Forget the route. Here it is, religiosity that we might have fallen into. Oh, now it's time for this. And after they do this, then they'll do that. And then after they do that, then we'll hear this. And after we hear this, they'll do that. And it's just this line item thing that we had gotten so used to in our places of worship, in our churches, in our gatherings. Amen. Where after a while it became so ritual and so routine that we kind of lost. We were there, but we weren't there, if you understand what I'm saying. We were there in the midst, but we weren't doing the connecting. Every now and then we connected pretty tightly, but I'm talking about from the beginning to the very end. When they said amen, there were times when you slipped out. I mean, you were physically sitting there, but mentally and spiritually you slipped away. And then you slipped back in, and you slipped back in and out. Just me, that's okay, because I'll tell you what, you'll never get delivered if you don't admit that you need to be delivered from some things. And if you don't admit that, yes, I've been there, that has happened. Amen. And I came into the realization as we were on lockdown for the last 18 months or so, amen, that I needed to reestablish, I needed to get reconnected, I needed it. And so remember ye not the former things. We got to get rid of some stuff. We got to get rid of some ways of doing some things. Some things aren't effective anymore. They become ritual. They become routine. They become mundane. They become humdrum. They become ho-hum. My Lord, God is always exciting. We need to come into his presence with expectation of him to move in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Remember ye not the former things. Some ministries have to change. Why? Because there's going to be an influx of people with different situations and different challenges and different issues, if you will, that we're going to need to address, and we're going to have to be empathetic, and we're going to have to be compassionate, and we're going to have to be on point, and we're going to have to be in tune. Amen. Because some of those things, if we be honest, we went through ourselves in the last 18 or so months. Remember ye not the former things. We serve a great, big, wonderful God who lives beyond the box that we try to put him in. If we want to experience this fresh start, this new wind of change, we'll have to sever some relationships as well and terminate some associations. Yeah, I'll let that sit for a minute so we can think. Because what's going to occur, what God is doing, is he's moving us to another level in himself. And some people aren't ready to go to that level with you. And instead of them encouraging you to go into that level or onward to that level, they want to hold you back. And they want to say to you, well, it don't take all that. And why you got to go there? And why you got to do it this way? And why you got to do it that way? Why can't we just be satisfied? Why can't we, look, it's time out for all of that. Because God is preparing us for, he's preparing us for a fresh start. So in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18, just the A portion, remember ye not the former things. Stop trying to stick God in a box. We don't have boxes big enough for God. God is too big. He's too big for the universe. You know he's too big for the box that we're trying to stick him in. We're going to have to sever some relationships. I didn't say discourage them. I said sever. And you can encourage people and still sever some things. You don't want to be drawn into something that's going to stagnate you, something that's going to keep you from seeing God move. No, it's time out for that. No, we don't have time for that. Time is moving. And God is moving. And there are things he is putting into place. There are things he's already put into place. He has asked us to join in on the work. And I'm telling you, you got to have your mind's eye set on what he's doing and be sensitive to his move. He's getting ready to do, and he says in his word, a new thing. Remember ye not the former things. Amen. Of verse 18, Isaiah chapter 43 says, neither consider the things of old. That encourages us to look ahead, not dwell in the past, not depend on past accomplishments, not depend on the way things used to work, not depend on things that were established for so long we can say it in our sleeps. Amen. He says, neither consider the things of old. When I began to contemplate and think about that, I hear the words of Paul talking very clearly in Philippians chapter 3, beginning of verse 13. Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, and I press toward the mark for the prize of a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says, I forget about those things that I've done. They're wonderful. They had their place. They had their moment. But God is moving. He's doing a new thing. I'm leaving that behind. I'm reaching forth forward for those things that are in front of me, and I'm pressing. And notice he says, I have to press, which implies there's going to be a struggle. There's going to be conflict. There's going to be resistance. So you got to press if you want to be a part of this new thing, if you want to see this new thing come to pass, if you want to be a part of that fresh start and you want to start new and you want to see what God is doing. Amen. And you want to see the explosive, radical thing that God is preparing for us, then you, like Paul, I press the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Just talking about, neither consider the things of old. Yeah, because see, here it is. If we decide to consider the things of old, we'll find ourselves comparing the old with the new. And when we start comparing the old with the new, complacency has a way of settling in. We all find ourselves rejecting the new and falling back on the old. Why? Because it's more familiar. Why? Because it's more comfortable. Why? Because it's more predictable. Consider not the things of old. Don't compare the old with the new. Amen. To God be the glory. Because God said he's going to do a new thing. He didn't say he was going to do a repeat. He didn't say he was going to do a makeover. He didn't say he was going to rejuvenate. He didn't say that at all. He didn't say he was going to revamp something that was already in existence. He said, but I'm going to do something, here it is, new, never seen before, hot off the press. And we must allow God, let him lead the way. And trust him for the fresh start that he's going to put into place. Verse 19 excites me. It says, behold, this is God still talking. I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Let's look at that. He makes a declaration, and then he begins to back it up. And so I want to look at his backup first. What does he say? He says, I'll make a way. Because we have a habit of saying, okay, God's going to do something new. What do I have to do? How about if God's doing something new, he'll direct you to what to do. You won't have to figure out what to do. How about God has got all the direction? How about God has got all the guidance? How about that? And God said, this is what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to make a way in the wilderness. Amen. He's going to make a way in the wilderness. What does that mean? That means in places of confusion, he's going to straighten it out. That means in places of uncertainty, he's going to make it plain. That means he'll make things clear. He'll make things relevant. He will make things where you can depend on it, where you can be assured. He said, I'll make a way in the wilderness. But that's not all he said. Look at verse 19, the latter portion. He said, I'll make a way in the wilderness. He said, and rivers in the desert. In rivers in the desert, a dry place, he's saying, I will bring life to it. I will cause it to flourish in the dry, dead places. New growth will start to germinate in the dry and dead places. That's what he says, that rivers in the desert, rivers. And rivers signify moving water, something that is active, nothing that's stagnant, nothing that's still, nothing that's calm. No, it's rushing. It's excitement. There's undertow. There are things that are going on in the river. Amen. And he says, no, I'll make rivers in the dry places. I'll cause new growth in stagnant areas of ministry, new growth in stagnant areas of your churches and your places of worship, new growth in you, in your worship, new growth in your praise, new growth in the stagnant places. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Why? Yeah, this is good stuff, and it's only going to happen if we allow God to do it. Why? Because he says at the beginning of verse 19, he says, look, behold, I will do. And notice the pronoun, he didn't say we will do. He said, I will do a new thing. And it shall spring forth. In other words, it will be immediate. It'll be suddenly. He said, and you, he said, shall you not know? In other words, he's going to say, you're going to say that had to be God. Because it was too spontaneous, because it was too quick, because it was too precise, because it was too sudden, because it was so impactful, because it was so explosive. You're going to have to say, there was no way I could orchestrate that. No way we could orchestrate. That had to be God moving. And this can only happen if we allow God to go before us. Amen. Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. Says, and the Lord, it is he goes before us, and he will be with us, and he will not fail us, neither forsake us. So don't fear, and don't be discouraged. That's a word for us, because God's talking about preparing us for this new start, for this fresh start, for this new beginning. And he's saying, don't worry, I'm going before you. I'm paving the way for you. You just be there in the midst. You just be all in. Just buy into the whole thing and watch me work. I'm going to do something that's going to, here's my favorite word, wow you. Saints and friends of the Most High God, I perceive that this new thing, this fresh start, is going to be the wow moment of God. And when I say wow, I'm thinking of the acronym for wow, W-O-W, wonderful opportunities waiting. There's going to be wonderful opportunities waiting to be experienced, wonderful opportunities waiting to be explored, wonderful opportunities. God us down in 2020 so that he could restart us with new eyes, with new ears, with a new heart to move in our churches, places of worship, and in ministry, and in ourselves. I perceive, and I'm asking God, here it is, to pour out fresh oil on me, fresh oil on us. Because those eyes, those fresh eyes, those new eyes that he's given us, so that they'll be open. Those new ears that he's given us will be able to tune in to the voice of God. And our new hearts that he's given us will be able to be made ready to respond to God's wow moment. He says, behold, verse 19 is where I am. I will do a new thing. And it will come quickly. It will come suddenly. It will come immediately. And you will know that it was a mighty move of our Almighty God. I don't know about you, but I am excited about that. There will be new vision. There will be new worship. There will be new praise. There will be new blessings. There will be new elevation. Somebody need to hear me today. There will be new experiences. There will be new heights. There will be deeper depths in God. No more business as usual. No more humdrum, ho-hum. Oh, no. That's out. Forget that. And I am excited because I'm going to embrace this new start. I'm going to welcome this new start. I am preparing for this new start. God is going to move. I know he's going to move. And I don't want us to miss it. He has told us in his word what it takes to prepare for this new start. He said, don't remember the former things. He said, don't even consider the things of old. Don't even worry when you say, well, that's a dry place, or that's a place of confusion, or that's a place of uncertainty, and that's a wilderness, a wandering. He said, don't even get into that. He said, I'm doing the new thing. I'll make the way. I'll clear that up. I'll prepare you for that. You just hold on to your hat. Amen. And keep your eyes on me. Because God said, I'm doing this new thing. Don't put this new thing in an old vessel. Or as Jesus said, don't put the new wine in an old bottle. There are wonderful opportunities waiting. God wants to wow us. And I don't know about you, but I can't wait to be wowed. I've been locked down for 18 months. I can't wait to be wowed. I can't wait to see what God is going to do and just what this new fresh start is going to do for the people of God, in the people of God, and through the people of, are you willing to be prepared? Prepared for this new move? Here's how you're going to start. Prepare yourself with prayer. Prepare yourself with vision. Prepare yourself calling those things that are not as though they already are. Begin to speak it into existence. Begin to say, God, I'm ready for you to move in this area. God, I'm looking forward for you to move in that area. God, I'm looking for you to enhance my worship. Lord, I'm looking forward to you to enhance my praise. God, I'm looking forward for the ministries to flourish. God, I'm looking forward for the doors to be broken down, for people rushing in to find out what must they do to be, to get a hold of this movement, to get a hold of this God that we love, that we cherish, who saved our soul, that delivered us, and now has new things for us to do. This wow God. Speak that into existence, because God is waiting. And then when he makes this move, oh, it's going to be immediate, and it's going to be explosive, and I'm telling you. It's not going to be anything that you have seen before. It's going to be new. God is going to wow us. And I don't know about you. I've been waiting a while. And I want to be wowed. And when I say wow, I'm talking about wonderful opportunities waiting to be experienced, waiting to be explored, waiting for you and me to take advantage of what our mighty and wonderful and magnificent God can and will do in the church, in the place of worship, in our ministries, in our leadership, and in us. Wow me, God. Prepare me for the fresh start. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this word that you've given us to encourage us, to let us know you've been prepping us for a while. And we are yearning for this move. Prepare us, Lord. Help us not be the one who holds it back and causes stagnation instead. Stir us up, God, that we will be excited for this move and that we will be on board with whatever that is that you have in store for us. We don't know what it is, but you know what it is, and you said it's going to be a new thing, and you said it's going to be sudden, and you said it's going to be immediate. You said it's going to be quick, and you said we will know that you have orchestrated us. Prepare us for this fresh start. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, I do pray with much thanksgiving. Amen, amen, and amen. Now you've heard the word of God. Amen. And what I want to do is I want to make a call for salvation. I am not going to assume that everyone knows the God that can wow us. I can't assume that. And I want to invite you to get on board with the God who woos us, who loves us, and who excites us and moves on our behalf. And so I'm inviting you to get to know him if you don't know him in the pardon of your sins. See, God has prepared a way for us to be reconciled back to him, and we cannot do it on our own. And what he did was he sent his son Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sin. He shed his blood for us. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. He was the perfect sacrifice because man needed to be reconciled back to God, reconnected with God, because without God, we're nothing. Without God, we would fail. Without God, we're like a ship without a sail. We can't do it on our own. We're only going in circles trying to satisfy our own self, but only God can satisfy. So he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And he said this simply. He said, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that he died, but he was raised from the dead, the Bible says, and you shall be saved. It's just that easy. It's as simple as ABC. Admit that you're a sinner, that you need to be saved. Sinner, oh yeah, we've all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Rebellion, any act of disobedience, anything that is not of God and doesn't please him, that's sin. Oh, but our God is a righteous judge. And he said, look, what I'm going to do is, because I know they can't pay this penalty, I'm going to send my son, and my son will pay the price. And so that's what he did, because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So he sent Jesus Christ to die for us instead. And Jesus took our punishment, and he took our place on the cross, and he died for our sin. And the Bible said, and then he was buried. But here's the good news. On the third day he got up, which means he conquered death, hell, the grave, and sin. One fair swoop. And he said, I came back with all power in my hands. That means that when we give our lives to Christ, the power is now transferred to us, where we have power to walk right, power to talk right, power to live right. Hallelujah. For as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons and daughters of God, even to those who believe on his name. That's what the Bible says. So that's what we have now, because we believe that he died for us. And now we've confessed that with our heart. And if you do that, the Bible says you shall be saved. So today, when you hear his voice, the Bible says, harden not your heart. He's tugging at you even right now. He's tugging at your heart. That's God calling you by your name. Just say, I yield. Yes, Lord, I yield. God, I'm a sinner, and I need to be saved. Saved from your wrath, saved from eternal separation from you, saved from myself. And God, only you can do that. Because you died for my sins already. And now I'm asking you to take over my heart. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Be my deliverer. Be my way maker. Be my all in all. And God, help me along the way. Never leave me. Never forsake me. And use me for your glory. And I'll be forever yours. In the mighty name of Jesus, we do pray. With much thanksgiving, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, Bible says you're saved. And I say to you, welcome to the family of God. And today is the first day of the rest of your life. For if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. So in order to live the life that you can live the life of Christ more abundantly, you'll need to seek out and connect with and join a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. Amen. And it will cause you to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it'll cause you to learn about the many promises of God that he has in store for you in his word. Amen. Amen. Welcome again to the family of God. Now I'm going to turn this portion over to Pastor Toy. He'll give you some upcoming announcements that you'll want to hear. Pastor Toy?
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God, we just thank and bless God for that word. We thank and bless God by faith for those who chose to give their life to Christ, to him this evening, and get to know the God who can wow you. And now we just sit in expectation in what God is going to do. We sit in expectation of this new thing that is beginning to take place, not just in that new babe who gave their life to Christ, but as Evangelist Johnson said, in all of us as this world opens back up from this pandemic. We thank and bless God for the word this evening and for Evangelist Cheryl Johnson's bringing of the word this evening. We thank and bless God by faith for the souls we believe gave their life to Christ this evening. We would like to encourage each and every one of you to join in with us tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. Again, tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. with the Turning Point. And the host is Elder Charles and Reverend Maureen Lee. You do not want to miss tomorrow evening's Anointed Man and Woman of God with the Turning Point right here on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. Also, if you missed one of our previous episodes, if you would like to re-listen to this evening's ministry with Evangelist Cheryl Johnson in Search of the Truth, you can listen into us at Radio Co. You can find it on our webpage at pknradio.com. Again, that's pknradio.com. You can also go to radioco.com and type in Purpose Kingdom, and you would be able to listen to not only the rebroadcast of the ministries, but also to 24-hour broadcast of God's love and strength and joy and hope through gospel music. So we thank each and every one of you. We invite you to follow us through Facebook, through LinkedIn at Purpose Kingdom. We are on Instagram and Twitter at Purpose_Kingdom. Please feel free to email any comments, suggestions, questions, or concerns to us directly at PurposeKingdomNet@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you, to pray with you, and to pray for you. Please again join us at PKNradio.com. We would love to worship with you via that avenue also. We would like to give a welcome to the countries of China, the country of Russia, the country of Austria, who has begun to listen into Purpose Kingdom Network. We bless God for each and every one of you. Evangelist Cheryl, the ministry is back in your hands.
Amen, amen. And I'm excited because God is moving, and we're experiencing it even right now, even with this ministry with Purpose Kingdom, and I praise God for that. God is moving. God is moving. Catch a hold of his coattail and be prepared. Be prepared for the fresh start. Be prepared for the new start. And just like the Word of God told us in Isaiah chapter 43, he said, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." That's a take-home point for us. That's a word of excitement and encouragement for us. That's a prophecy for us, a revelation for us. Let's grab one and let's get ready to see what God is getting ready to do. Let us not be the stumbling block, but let us be the stepping stones. Let us not be the hindrance, but let us be the help. Let us be the one that ushers in what God is getting ready to do. Let us not be tied back by tradition and lock ourselves down in stagnation and cling to the old because it's comfortable, because it's familiar, because of all of those things. No, let us consider what God is doing and throwing our trust totally in him. Why? Because he's leading the way. And how about this? He knows what he's doing. And whatever God does, he does it well. And I'm waiting for God to wow us. And this is going to be a wow moment for us. Wonderful opportunities waiting. Don't you want to be in on that? I want to be in on that. So again, I thank God for each and every one of you for taking time out to listen to In Search of the Truth with your host, Evangelist Cheryl Johnson. And I want to just continue to keep you all in prayer that we might be pliable, that our eyes will see what God is doing, our ears will hear the voice of God, and our heart will follow after what God is instructing us to do. Amen, amen. Therefore, until next time, let the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. I'm Evangelist Cheryl Johnson, and you've been listening to In Search of the Truth. I bid you peace and God's blessings. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Jesus led.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Devil wanna see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.